Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance, with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance, neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling, to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to the calling.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Chad Bubba Horowitz with you. And what's going on, everybody? Well, quite the game yesterday. Alabama came back to beat Georgia. Roll Tide, as I said. I thought that they'd win by more. But they did win in overtime. And interesting enough, changing their quarterback at halftime to a rookie. So yesterday, that was the only thing of excitement in the world, as the markets were totally sound asleep. I think that we're just in this position right now that the markets are just going to continue to be dull, drifting, with not a lot of interest. And again, you know, as you look at markets, they go through stages, and you know, they go through these stages of being very busy. They go in the stages of being very volatile. They go through the stages of going down. They go the stages of going up. And I think we're in the dull drift, I don't care stage at the moment. And all that means is that we're just, you know, continuing the dribble higher, or the drift. And, so what we see here is a lack of overall interest by the masses, but we have anybody who's willing to come in as a buyer. And typically, markets will drift higher, as we've talked about before, because money is going to flow into the stock market every day, no matter what. So as we watch the money flow, we know that, you know, the money comes in from funds every day, and of course the markets are predisposed to go slightly higher. So we have the dull drift, laissez-faire crap market, we don't care. And in the end of the day, in the meantime, all right, you know, you can talk about the fundamentals all you want. You can talk about how good or bad you think the markets are. Again, I don't look at them as, I mean, the markets are fine. The economy sucks. So as you graze forward, we know, and we should assume, that the market is going to continue its drift higher. There is no reason, and as much as I would like to say they're going down, there is no reason to have any belief that the markets are going to break anytime soon. Now, they could break tomorrow, but from just a pure trading standpoint, from a pure understanding of the market standpoint, since the markets don't announce themselves, we can't make a case for it to happen tomorrow. We just know that it will happen when it happens. And that goes back to the markets not announcing themselves, and understanding that it's about being patient enough, because the test of will that the markets are giving us here is a challenge. It's a very big test, just to the standpoint that the patience, because there's right now, there is obviously the masses want to buy. Obviously, the pundits want to push the markets higher, the advisors, the brokers. And with lack of any real sellers in play, the markets will probably continue to drift. Now, we just finished, I know it's the best 5 days either in so many years or in history, I don't remember, but it's not that important from that standpoint. It is what it is. But we are in a place where we've been up 15 months in a row, and we've got the biggest start to the week. And of course, if that translate correctly, there's, you know, how January goes, so goes the market or whatever. Now, of course, let's not forget what happened just 2 little years ago. On the first 5 days, we had the biggest down start to the history, which was supposed to lead to disaster. And the markets went straight up after that. So, again, trading is not about guessing what we're going to do from here. Trading is about playing the game of trading and looking at yourself and saying, okay, right now, I don't really want to be a buyer here. I don't want to put new money to work here because I'm not hedged, because I'm just trying to trade. I'm just trying to invest. But I don't necessarily want to short the market yet. So which means, what do? It means you sit it out on the sidelines and you're patient enough. You got to be like Alabama, patient enough so that you can bring your new quarterback in when it's time. But no, in all seriousness, you have to be patient enough to wait until the markets give the real activity or the real work. Now, again, it doesn't mean that it will be down. My concern here as a trader is just that there's not any action. So there's no real reason to get too involved here. Excuse me. But in the big scheme of life, okay, there will be an opportunity. The markets will move. And the markets will trade. Right now, this is not what we would call a trader's market. This is not even an investor's market. This is a dull, drifting, painful, quiet market. But again, as always, that will change when it changes. So the test that you're taking right now is the test of, hey, okay, great. I can outwait. I can be more patient than the market. And if you can do that, you will then find yourself in many better winning opportunities than losing opportunities. You will find yourself making better decisions. But what happens to many of us is we don't have the patience to wait. We don't have the discipline to sit back and not be involved. And of course, what happens then? Well, they score a touchdown. They stick it to my, you know what. So my words of wisdom, my advice to you is to relax and not be in a hurry. Remember that the markets are open 241 days a year. To remember that we don't have to trade this moment. We don't have to guess or try to force the market to do something. Because at the end of the day, they're going to do what they want to do, not what I want them to do. You know, you've got a lot of big money flowing back into the market from some places. And, you know, again, it just right now, it just doesn't make a lot of sense to be overly aggressive in either side in any stock. Okay. Until we can get some validity to the footprint that we're seeing that then convinces us that that is the right and solid direction. Okay. These are important things for you to remember. It's the game of trading that we're playing right now, not anything else, because we need to wait so that the game is more favorable so we can put the odds in our favor. Because that's what the Bubba Show is all about, is trying to help you put the odds in your favor when you're trading. And this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course, highschoolinvesting.com is what we're trying to build on. And we've got, you know, we've been doing this for 7 years and we're looking to get into more high schools. We've got 300 now. We're looking to get to 30,000. I could use your help. And all I have to do is go to Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaTrading. And you can make a small donation. And of course, you'll get access to high school investing and you can learn some things as you're on your own, and as well as learn what they're doing. And don't forget to download the Bubba Show every single day at libertytalk.fm and the Sporting Edge as well. And that will give us our chance to reach our goal of 1 million downloads a month. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be back with more after the break on this day of Tuesday, January the 9th. The Bubba Show. Todd. Something. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. What's going on? What are we doing? Well, it's, you know, markets are pretty much in typical bubble drooling formation. You know, we've got the whole world is on the, this time it's different. The markets no longer need fundamentals, and not that we're fundamental traders, but, you know, we've got a whole bunch of stuff going on. We've got the Fed already balking about you know, what is going to happen here, and you know, what they're going to do with interest rates. And isn't that just part of being in the crapper when you're stuck with the Federal Reserve, who has no idea what's going on? Couldn't do anything of in reason, in my opinion, and they continue to, you know, deal or try to deal with things that make absolutely no sense. You know, I think that, you know, if we have a strong growing economy, which they want us to believe, I mean, they continue to beat into the head the jobs are great. Okay, and of course, there's our first difference of opinion. I think the jobs suck. So, you know, that's the first difference of opinion that we now have with the Fed. I mean, again, if you're happy with making less money and working harder and having no benefits, yeah, the jobs are phenomenal. But I don't know that anybody's really happy with that. Then we look at the building of the big banks and continuing to make them too bigger to fail. Okay, you know, where is it written that we want the banking system to be so big that it encompasses, it becomes the biggest industry in the world? Okay, I don't know where we decided that banks should be the one and end all be all power of the world. You know, it's nice for them that they get to create and print their own money. It's great for them that they get to have fractional banking where they can create, you know, a bunch of stuff and money for themselves. But where does the benefit from for the average guy come into play with the current banking system? You know, if you look back just to the 2008 bubble, okay, if you look back to, you know, who created and caused the bubble, I mean, one would have to say that the banks were the ones that created it by doling out all that free cash. So if that indeed is correct, which I believe it to be, then why is it that they continue to get bailed out? I mean, it's almost like saying, well, you can go ahead and make all the bad business decisions that you'd like because we're going to bail you out anyways. Now, again, I have to always wonder, where does that fit into a true economic profile? Where does that fit into a business model? How many of your businesses out there, and I know we have a lot of entrepreneurs and a lot of small business out there, where is it in your model that says you can screw up and not have to worry about it? So, you know, is the banking system in its current state any good? I'd have to say no. I'd have to say that the current state of the banking market stinks. I would have to say that the current setup that we're seeing is BS. Okay? I don't see where we get any true benefit from a bank. Not only do they not provide liquidity to small business, but yet they get to make all kinds of bad decisions. And of course, at the end, they get bailed out. Now, I think that's one of the issues you have when the central bank is a private corporation that is basically in charge of all the banks. I think when you have a bank as big as Citigroup or JP Morgan or any of them, you know, when you look back over the last couple of years and see the things that they've done and the things that they've gotten away with, you would think that, you know, a normal business would be in big trouble. So why is it that the banks themselves are not in big trouble? Why is it that they get the free pass from the regulators? You know, this is something that is, you know, been the question for many, many years is, why are they different? Why are they set up to be in a great position and get the facts of, you know, how to, you know, steal the money, I guess we'll say it. I mean, that's, you know, may not be the right way to phrase it, but you know me, I'm just telling it what I think it. And I don't see any tremendous benefit that we get from the big banking system. I think that this too big to fail, too big to jail, too big to do anything with is a farce. You know, I think that this is a setup that is basically saying, okay, we can do what we want, and if we're wrong, we'll let the small guys bail us out again. I miss the days of when you didn't have all of this regional, not regional banking, but what am I thinking of here? I can't even remember. But, you know, where you didn't have branch banking, that's something. Or, you know, a bank had one branch, you know, and you moved around and you had a bunch of banks out there competing, you know, giving away the free toaster, giving away whatever, all right, trying to earn your business. And now we don't have that anymore. We now have the actual infighting of banks within themselves that they're, you know, other than the big group, which, you know, really it's almost like they're colluding. And I'm not saying they are, I don't know, but it's almost like they're in collusion with one another, all trying to get rid of the little small regional banking setups, getting rid of the individual banker. Now, you know, I would think that, you know, a bank should be run like any other business. You know, you move into a town and you open up your bank and, you know, you have to have obviously certain regulations so you can't screw the American people, but you should have the ability to make your decisions and make your lending decisions and your other decisions based on your own business model, not based on the ability to create extra money, not on the knowing that the Federal Reserve will be there to bail you out should you screw it up. I mean, should not the banking industry be in the same business model that we all are? Is why, I guess the question is, why is banking different? Why are they forgiven for the problems that they create themselves? You know, nobody's bailing me out if I make a few bad trades. Nobody's saying, hey, it's okay. I don't know. I have to wonder, you know, how this works over the long haul. Now, again, I'd love somebody to tell me what they think, but I don't see it. You know, again, I think you're seeing a very, very bad, and a continued bad thing that we continue to see, because I think the Fed is too closely tied to the government and they've got too much power over the money. So, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. This is the Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course, I want to remind you about our high school investing program. We are out, you know, trying to, in our seventh year now, and trying to get all the high schools together and put them into a financial literacy program. But now we're running out of a little bit of capital. We've got 300 high schools. We're looking to get to, obviously, 30,000. You want to help out? You go to Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaTrading. And those of you who do will get access to the site itself and get a little free education at the same time. In the meantime, don't forget to download the show every day at libertytalk.fm. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back with more after the break. The Bubba Show. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, at CNN, CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Never ends. And of course, this is the Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. And you know, we talked about banks, and I don't know, I'm very frustrated with the whole system. I couldn't be more frustrated when the Fed governors are talking again. And of course, it isn't something that we didn't already know. You knew that number on Friday was gonna create this. And it's sad that what's really sad, I believe, is how many people are going to get tortured and thrashed with this whole market when it does decide that it is time to have a correction. I think it's a tragedy that you take away your individual freedoms. I think it's a tragedy when you take away independent decision-making on where you want to invest your money, when you basically shut down every other asset class but one, and you go, you want something? Here you go. Okay. Where is the freedom of choice? Okay. Where is the freedom of the ability to invest where you think is got a chance? And of course, obviously there are other opportunities, but basically for the average investor, the Federal Reserve has forced them all into the one asset class known as the stock market. Now, I am a big stock market fan. So again, I'm not, you know, against the markets. Okay. But I am against having in people that have to either borrow or leverage up to get into the markets. And I am against where there is basically no place else to go. I think that becomes an issue. And this ties into everything where we stand with everything just about now. You know, when you look at the overall system, and we can start with the broken down Social Security system, which again punishes those who have put money in all their life into this scam of a system. Because, of course, the government, in their ever-continuing efforts to continue to be reelected, did not have the foresight to continue to raise the age so that we didn't burn all the money as we're waiting. And I think this is just another part of the tragedy of a government that's run by people that want to be professionals, and they've got their own aspirations of being rich, but they want to be rich. They want to be rich by stealing from the middle class. And you know, I think I think that many of these lobbyists, you know, have far too much power. I think that many of them have too much to say. And I think that this is where, you know, the overall system is failing Americans. You know, I don't believe that, you know, we've got a system that is in favor of the average guy. I think we've got a system that is failing the average guy, average girl. I think when you look at the makeup of everything that we do, you know, you don't have anything that favors one side that favors the small everything favors the wealthy. Now, again, I'm not against those who are wealthy and who have, you know, that insane wealth and have earned their ways there. But I am disappointed that they carry so much clout and so much power, and they can actually force lobbyists to do things that will not benefit the average guy. And to me, that is a bigger shame in the big scheme of life, is what they get to do. I think we've made, you know, many drastic errors here. And I was talking to my son yesterday, and we were talking about, you know, what the system is all about, and you know, what does the Fed do, and, you know, what does all this and that and the other thing mean? And I go, well, it means that, you know, you have a system where it doesn't trade truly as a free market system, which is what it's supposed to be, which is what it was designed as. You've got a system that is manipulated by the few. You've got a system that is manipulated by, for example, the lobbyists, right? Because of the big money. I mean, just take a look at Hillary Clinton, for example. And again, I never liked her. Doesn't matter. Okay. And it has nothing to do with whether or not she could have done or did a good job or not. But certainly she should be under a lot more scrutiny and should have some more troubles than she's obviously having right now, and probably should be in jail. But yet there she is out running around with not even a thought of it. You know, we hear these little blurbs and these little possibilities of, well, maybe something, but are we really going to ever see anything? And I think that is, you know, a much bigger ordeal. And that just goes to show you the power of the swamp, the power of the things that can happen, and why the overall system is a mess. Now, again, this is not a mess that was just created yesterday. This is not Barack Obama's fault. This is not George Bush's, either one of them's fault, not Bill Clinton's fault. It is the fault of all of them that continued to kick the cans down the road in order for the short-term fix. It is the fault of everybody who decided that they're getting reelected to an office was more important than doing your job in that office. So this is more the issue. Again, most people, you know, they want to do well for themselves and they want to figure out that way. But again, this is why the system itself is broken down. This is why we don't get to see the bigger picture, and we don't get to see the way that the markets or the system should run. So, yeah, the stock markets are at record highs. And again, certainly if you're making money, you're not going to be complaining. And I am making money, and I'm still complaining. Okay? And I'm not complaining for me. I'm complaining for future generations. I think that there is a disaster waiting to happen. I think that this is going to eventually crush the new generation of little guys. And I think this is why you see so much of these things about the cryptocurrencies and things like that, because in my opinion, this is like a revolution against this centralized banking system, against the basically stealing of my money, okay, stealing of your money. You look around and you see some of the things that are going on. You have to have some major concerns as to what we see, because not a lot of things are going in the way that they should. Not a lot of things are allowed to be in, again, the free market system. So, you know, when you do not allow asset classes to price themselves, but strictly wait on the whim of the Federal Reserve and what they're going to do, because we all know the chain of events. So think about how much manipulation has to be done to make everything work properly and to make everything work the way that it should. You know, I think this is the story that we need to examine. We know what we have. We've seen what we have. But now, how do we get away from this total few people control the world? Okay. I mean, basically, the 12 people at the Federal Reserve can control all the money. That's why the Fed chair, like Janet Yellen still is the biggest and most powerful job that there is. I would put the Fed chair on par or on comparison with the president of the United States from a point of power, a standpoint of power, because money drives. Money is the root. And, you know, we don't, you know, do something about it, it's going to be continued. And I think that is something that indeed creates the problems, because it is all about the money. And when you have so much power in so few hands, and the power that they get to use affects so many people, I think that becomes an issue. And these are things that are disturbing, especially when you have a market that is so much overvalued, overinflated, and in a bubble, which, of course, nobody will ever admit. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, and it is Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, you know, I want to remind you to get, you know, Bubba's Daily Update. Every day I send you an update of what's going on in the market, what happened that day, what I expect to see tomorrow or the next day. And all you have to do is go to BubbaTrading.com and fill out the little box that pops up when you go there, and I will send you the updates each and every day right after the close. And also, don't forget to go download every day The Bubba Show at libertytalk.fm, and as well as The Sporting Edge on the weekends. I mean, we want to make sure that you know, we keep you informed and keep you running and keep you coming back and helping us get our download goals. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back with more after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Figured it out. Welcome it's back to The Bubba time. Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and quite the show we had today. And what's everybody's thoughts on if Oprah Winfrey runs for the president in 2020? Okay, could she win? Probably. Okay, I mean, she's pretty much of a beloved character on both sides of the aisle. Could she be a good president? I don't know. I mean, you know, she certainly has a lot going for her. So could she be the next wild card independent to run for the president? Certainly could happen. You know, she's denying it at the moment, but at the Golden Globe, she certainly gave one heck of a speech that might indicate that she certainly has some interest in doing so. I think it's something that would be, of course, very interesting, you know, as we go forward. But, you know, again, this is always an issue. You know, we're not actually taking care of the president that we have in now. You know, I think this is an issue that, you know, so much can be done in the next 4 years, whether or not Oprah's going to run or not, whether or not she's going to win or not. You know, there's a lot that can happen, but isn't it something that we should be able to take care of and get things done today instead of already worried? Don't you find a problem with a system that our politicians basically spend almost 90% of the time trying to get reelected and not doing what they're supposed to be doing? Does anybody understand or realize the amount of money that goes into these stupid campaigns? Besides the fact that these guys are all on payroll, on salary anyways, and not only they're on salary, but they get great health benefits and they've got great pensions. Does anyone wonder why we spend so much time? Should there not be some new election laws and campaigning laws? And, you know, when does the campaign start? I mean, you know, we're worried for, you know, the first thing it was to get the president elected. Now all we've been worried about is the midterm elections. All right. Now, why aren't we worried about how to get the problems of this country fixed today? Why do I give a crap about the election at the, you know, late this year? Okay. Of course, I want to know who's going to win, and I want things to be good, but I don't care who wins. What I really care about is what we do in the country. What I really care about is how we take care of everybody, you know, and give everybody the same fair and equal opportunity to be successful. Okay. To live a good life. That's what I care about. All right. So, you know, am I worried about who the president's going to be in 2020, or am I worried about, you know, the midterm elections today? No, today I'd like to be worried about, you know, how we're going to get these things taken care of. Today I'm going to worry about, you know, small business and why they're still struggling. Today I want to worry about the recession that I don't really believe that we ever left. You know, today I want to worry about the cluelessness of the most powerful organization in the world, the Federal Reserve. So should I be worried about the upcoming elections right now? I don't know. What do you think? Me, I don't think so. I think that that's a crock. I mean, you know, I think that truthfully, we should go to, I believe it's the European model, but it's a simply, you can start campaigning 6 weeks before, you got X amount of money to spend, and that's it. So you can't buy your way through. You know, I'll tell you what, I'm getting pretty sick and tired of seeing people buy themselves into something. I mean, you want to talk about the money being wasted. I find that extremely troubling, the amount of money that is thrown in the garbage can. And I find it troubling at the amount if they didn't throw so much in the garbage can, we wouldn't have such high taxes. You wouldn't have these states with this ridiculous, you know, type of taxes that you have to pay just to live there, which is why you're seeing many of a mass exodus out of many of these places. You know, those are the things that we should be worried about, okay? You know, wouldn't it be nice to make $50,000 a year or $100,000, whatever it is you make, okay? And wouldn't it be nice to have a big portion of that money accessible to you to spend and to do things for you and your family instead of, you know, knowing that you're basically at the poverty level because about 40% of your money goes to the governments. And they don't do jack with it, but spend it and throw it in a garbage can. I mean, wouldn't it be better? Wouldn't it be nicer to be able to actually put yourself in a position to be set up for your retirement and for your future life and for your kids and for your grandchildren? Wouldn't that be a better thing to see? You know, I have to wonder, you know, at the way things are done and why we see them done in the way that they're done, when it seems to me the solution is so easy. It seems to me that the issue of the day is not, you know, that we have tough times, which we do, but that we could eliminate those tough times if we would eliminate all the garbage that is associated with it. All right. Again, you know, wouldn't it make sense to adjust to 2018 instead of living under things that are from, you know, 1920 or whatever the hell it's from? Okay. You know, we've seen the total destruction of the dollar. We've seen the total destruction of a class of people. And we see the expense of and the benefit for many of not going to work. Now where was it written in the Constitution that you could make more money by staying home and doing nothing than by going to work? Where did it say that we have to take care of everybody who doesn't want to work? Now again, I have no problem, and I've said this many times, and no issue with helping those that are truly in need. I mean, again, I'm not, you know, totally cold-hearted. I certainly want to help, you know, anybody who's disabled, that is legitimately, truly disabled, okay? Obviously, veterans who get the worst of all the deals. And when does that become the issue? Instead of the issue being, well, who's going to be elected? Or, you know, what lobbyist is going to pound down the cash to make somebody else rich? You know, if you ever watched The House of Cards, you know, obviously we know from the outside a lot of that stuff is legit. You can see it. But how much more of it is really legit, and how much more of the spin do we get from the ignorance and conniving, larceny-driven politicians that are in there? You tell me what you think. I mean, to me, it's so much illogical. It is such a tragedy of what we have that, again, you would if any other business was run the same way, there would be a lot of people, and there wouldn't be enough room in the jails. And I think that becomes the story. And that's where, I think you see a lot of this, you know, somewhat of a financial revolution through the cryptocurrencies right now, just for reasons that we're discussing right now. Because I think that people are finally sick and tired of being sick and tired. Anyways, this is The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. And as always, it's great to be a part of your day. Remember to go to libertytalk.fm, and you can download the show each and every day and help us reach and achieve our goal of 1 million downloads a month. And of course, I want to make sure you get my daily update, which is free. And all you have to do is go to bubbatrading.com and check it out. And you can fill out the form. And every day you'll get an email from me with a little smiley little video of me blathering on about what's going on in the markets. But in the meantime, have a great Tuesday, everybody. We'll see you back here on Wednesday. This is The Bubba Show. And I'm Todd Bubba Horowitz. And once again, I thank you for being a part of the day. And we'll see you back here tomorrow at the same time, the same station, The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Take care, everybody. We'll see you later.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.